I know my Redeemer lives. Do you know today that your Redeemer lives? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Amen. Before we get into the message, I wanted to share a couple of announcements. Not announcements, but some appreciations. This was from John Davis. He thanks the church for your kindness and sympathy at the time of his loss and member of his family. And we have a thank you that comes from Jerry Gregory. Thank you for the gift of love. It's the thoughtfulness of people like you that makes the world so bright, from Jerry Gregory and family. And also we have a thank you, very special and very rare. Thank you for all your care, your cards, your calls, and most of all, your prayers. God is still in the blessing business. This is from Garland and Shirley Clark. And we have a thank you that also comes from Miss Carrie Clark. Knowing people nice as you gives life a brighter touch. And so to each and all of you, thank you very, very much. Amen? Amen. Amen. I would like to acknowledge also my sister Barbara, who worshiped with us today, my nephew all the way from Japan. Amen. Kevin Coleman. So we're glad to have them in worship service with us today. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 1. We're looking at verses 9 through 10 and also 13 through 15. 2 Kings chapter 1. And while we were looking at that verse, I want to ask you, have you ever at a time in your life wished that you could pray a powerful prayer? Has there ever been a moment that you wished, I wish I had the words to say, and more importantly, I wish I could get results from the prayer that I pray? How many of y'all, show of hands? Those of you in the parking lot, have you ever had times that you wanted to pray but didn't know the right words? Well, today's sermon might be helpful to you. As a matter of fact, I believe that God will lay some things on your heart that will definitely help you to pray powerful prayers. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9. Then the king sent to Elijah a captain of 50 with his platoon of 50 soldiers. The captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of a hill, and said to him, "Man of God, the king says, come down." Elijah answered the captain, "If I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." Then fire fell from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. I know you're probably saying, what in the world? Yeah, that happened in the Bible. So, we're going to skip over captain number 2, and we're going to go to captain number 3, verse 13. So the king sent a third captain with his 50 men. This captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. "Man of God," he begged, "please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men, but now have respect for my life." And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him." So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. Amen. Before you take your seat, from these verses, I want to speak from the subject, don't play with the fire. Amen. Don't play with the fire. Look at somebody, tell them, don't play. Don't touch them. We're in COVID. Don't play with the fire. Amen. You may be seated. Father, bless us now that we might be able to share your word with power and clarity. I ask that you would help me to recall the things I've studied and to bring forth those things of the Spirit that we might be fed, nourished, and blessed through the Word of God. Bless us now in our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We have been studying the life of Elijah and the way that he prayed. And even though there was an event that took place involving Elijah, it was not so much his prayer as the prayer of another person unknown to us. And as we dig into the scripture, we get a little bit about the background of what was going on in 1 and 2 Kings. As you know, the nation of Israel had divided following Solomon's reign. You had a northern kingdom, and then you had the southern kingdoms of Judah, primarily, and of the Levites and of Benjamin. You had them dwelling in the southern kingdom. They had divided because of wickedness, of sin. Solomon had committed some acts in his life, and God said, I'm not going to snatch the entire kingdom, but what I'm going to do is divide it. So you had the northern kingdom, and you had the southern kingdom of Israel. Now, in this divided nation, the northern kingdom wanted to establish their own religion, their own way of worship, because they didn't want the folks crossing the border, going back to the temple, and returning to worship there, and the kingdom would be restored in one day. They wanted to be divided. That's like some church folk. Okay, I'm sorry. But they wanted to have things divided rather than being together and unified. So what happened, gradually the northern kingdom drifted further and further into idolatry. By the time of Ahab, you remember Ahab and Jezebel, the kingdom was so into idolatry that Jezebel had established the worship of Baal as the national worship, except for one problem, Elijah. Elijah would come in at a moment and tell them, listen, God is not pleased with your actions. He's going to judge you. As a matter of fact, there will be no rain for 3.5 years. And Elijah prayed that prayer. And guess what? It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then at the end of that time, when the season had come, he prayed again and said, Lord, send the rain. And God sent the rain. Elijah could pray some powerful prayers. But as we learn from the book of James, he was human just like us. He got fearful. He would have times of doubt. He went through all of these struggles. But listen, Elijah could pray powerful prayers because he depended on God. My question to you is, are you depending on God? If you depend on God, I'm telling you, God will not disappoint you. Can I tell you what my grandma said? He may not come when you want him, but his own time. Elijah prayed these powerful prayers. And as it turned out, Ahab died. And so what happened in succession was that the son of Ahab, Ahaziah, died. I also came to rule as Ahab had died. So now his son is reigning. Now his son is ruling that northern tribe of Israel. But rather than them saying, hey, we need to return to the Lord, the closing chapter of 1 Kings says, Ahaziah took over the reign, but he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his father. Lord, have mercy. At some point in our life, we need to understand that evil and wickedness is not the way to live. God designed you to live before him in righteousness. As a matter of fact, he even sends you the aid of the Holy Spirit to mold you and help you to walk this Christian life. You don't have to go out and do the things that are wicked in the eyes of God. You don't have to give in to the sin and degradation of this world. You have the power of God, but you got to pray. Look at somebody, tell them you got to pray. When you call on God, God will answer you. And as it turned out, when you're not living according to God's rule, things happen. When you don't have God to warn you, you're kind of on your own. Ahaziah had an accident. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he fell through a lattice or some type of a framing. He fell through that and was injured. And after he had sustained an injury, he started pondering, now, am I going to live or am I going to die? And not knowing God, he sent and asked counsel of a god called Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. They don't even sound right. Lord of the Flies. And he sent his representatives, his messengers, and say, okay, go ask Lord of the Flies. Why not the Lord of Life? But he didn't know God, didn't want to know God because he's following in the footsteps of his evil father. And in following the footsteps of an evil father, all he knew was call on Baal. It's like a lot of us, we don't want to depend on God. So what we'll do is we'll depend on other things that we bring into our life. Listen, a God can be anything that you spend more time with, more money on, give your attention to other than the living God. I'm not saying that other things in life are not important, but when they become the focal point, when they become the central focal point of your life, you have a God. It can be a family member. It can be money. It can be anything in this world. It can be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. It can be any of these things. So Ahaziah said, go ask Beelzebub. Go ask him, and ask him, am I going to come down from this place? Now, remember I told you about Elijah, right? He's still there. So when they sent word, or when they sent the messengers to ask the priest of Beelzebub, guess who stood up and said, is there not a God in Israel that you're going to ask Beelzebub, and because you've done this, you're going to die. You ain't coming down from your bed. So the messengers went back to the king and said, he asked, well, why are you here so early? He said, well, we ran into this hairy-faced guy in rough clothing, and he said, is there not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub? And for that reason, you shall not come down from your bed, but you shall surely die. Now that I brought you into the passage of Scripture, there were some things that happened, a sequence of events. The king said, go get him. So he sent out this first platoon of 50 men. Here they come. We're going to arrest Elijah and we're going to bring him in. He's sitting on a hill. He's chilling out. You know, he's drinking his Kool-Aid and his lemonade or whatever it is. He's sitting back on the hill and he sees these guys coming. All of a sudden, man, what in the world? So the first captain comes up. Man of God, the king said, come down. Elijah said, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down and consume you. And the fire from heaven came down and consumed him and the 50 men. Well, that's the end of that story. You would think that the king would have said, wait a minute, maybe we got to take a different approach. But when you got egotistical people, the only thing they care about is themselves. Are y'all in the house? So he sent out the second captain. Here they come down, and they're going to arrest Elijah, and they're going to bring him in, and they're going to say, man of God, the king says, come down. So Elijah, he's into it now. If I'm a man of God, let fire come down and consume you, and a lightning bolt. Psh! Now they're toast. So rather than the king says, maybe we ought to take a different approach to this, the king tries the same thing with the third captain. Now you're into the text. Third captain goes out with his men, and he's walking a little bit differently. He's thinking about this thing. Notice, please, this is not a religious man that the scripture has spoken of. This man probably has no idea of who God is, but he saw something that happened. He's looking at the evidence that has been presented. He said, wait a minute. One, two captains and 100 men have been burnt up. Now I got the same assignment as they did. Am I going to go and try to be big man? Am I going to go out and flex my muscles and say, man of God, come down? Or am I going to take a different approach? And it's from this man that we get our 4 points that we want to bring out today. 4 points that I think will transform the way you pray and how you pray. Not from Elijah, because look, he's into it. He knows God. God hears him. All right? So he said, okay, send the whole army. And we can take them 50 at a time. Just zap them out. I'm going to get to that in just a minute, because that's the way some of us as Christians pray. First time somebody step on our toe, zap. First time somebody says a crossword to you, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. Now, what in the world is that? That's why I tell you that what you got to do is not play with the fire. This is God. This is the Lord. Amen? And if anything, you need to have your prayer life transformed by the way Jesus prayed, right? You need to listen to him and how he prayed. We'll get to that in just a second. So in part 2 of this series, I want to share with you the things that I learned, the things the Spirit of God whispered to me about how you need to pray these powerful prayers. And I, at first, when I got into the text, I thought God was going to bring out somebody alive. No. We'll get back to him. I want to talk about this third captain. Because this guy goes out and he looks at the situation. And as his troops and all of them are marching up onto that area where Elijah's on the hillside, they're looking at each other and saying, man, I got a bad feeling about this. But a true captain, a true leader, is able to assess the circumstances and make the right judgment, especially when he's being led by God. Mind you, this third captain does not know God, but we're going to see him do some things that's going to invite the power of God. Can I say that? While you think all I can do is pray these hit or miss prayers, I just throw them up there. Maybe they might make it. Oh, no, here they come back down. Is that the way you feel sometimes? You pray a prayer and you feel like it doesn't go any further than the ceiling. Well, let me help you get some prayers all the way up to heaven. And it's not based on Elijah. It's based on this third captain. So he goes up to the man of God. And unlike the other two, here's what he says. King sent the third captain with his 50 men. Third captain went up and fell on his knees. I got a problem with that. He's a military man. How many military folks in here? Okay. You don't fall on your knees before somebody you're supposed to be apprehending. That's a sign of weakness, right? No. Not when you are being led by the captain of heaven, by the King of Glory. When you got your orders from the King of Glory, the most powerful place that you could be is on your knees. So he's on his knees. Here's what he says. Now, unlike the other two, flex the muscle and prove how bad they are. He says, man of God, he begged, please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. See fire, or in the King James it says, behold, the fire. He said, I looked at it. I saw it. I watched the fire consume the other two. It came down from heaven and consumed the first two captains and their men. But now have respect for my life. Then the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with them. Do not be afraid. So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. Let's break this down. Let's look at it. Man didn't know God, probably had never prayed before, looks at the experience of what happened to the other three, and he said, I've got to do something differently. A lot of times people don't pray really until they have to. Well, I done tried everything else. Now let me try Jesus. You should have tried Jesus in the first place. This man has no experience of worship. Yet, when he sees that he's in a crisis, as a matter of fact, he doesn't even address God directly. He goes through Elijah. Now, remember, Elijah's ready for the next bunch, right? He's getting the prayer ready, and he's probably looking at that third group and say, okay, just like the other two. But the angel said, wait a minute. That's not my plan for them, because this man is on his knees. First thing that you've got to do if you're going to pray a powerful prayer is to have the right attitude. The other two captains, arrogantly, they're going to go up and they're going to challenge God. See, the whole point of the first two was to show that the Lord was God in heaven, not Baal. So God permitted the destruction of those first two companies because now they're representing the king, his evil government. Had they been spared, that would have meant, okay, it looks like Baal won. You go back and you read where Elijah stood on Mount Carmel, right, against the prophets of Baal. He won that battle also. This is another battle, and God is going to win. And what I'm here to tell you, no matter who fights against you, if you have God on your side, you're going to win. You're going to win. You may have some bruises, but guess what? Let me just ask for a show of hands. I'm going to get back to the message in just a minute. But how many of you have gone through rough times, but you made it? You had to cry in the midnight hour, but you made it. You had to suffer sometimes. Maybe sickness got a hold of your body, but you made it. You had confusion in your family, but you made it. Look at somebody, tell them, I made it. And it was not me, it was the Lord. And a matter of fact, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, can I talk to somebody in here? Yeah, the Lord came through. He came through. And this man that had never prayed, he got on his knees. He knows something more than others know. Maybe even some seasoned saints, they don't want to get the right attitude. They feel like the Lord, well, you're supposed to bless me because you're God. Excuse me? Remember, God is God. He does what he wants. Are y'all here? And I want to tell you something else. None of us, no matter how much has changed in our life, none of us even now deserve any of his blessings. But guess what? His mercy is new every morning, so if you want it, you got it. Can I talk to somebody? If you need God's mercy, he'll be merciful to you. I got to hurry up and move on through this message. Do y'all see what I'm saying? So he comes with the right attitude. He said, I'm not going up to that man of God and going to flex my muscles and show him our spear. I'm not going to try to show him, hey, we bad, man. No, you don't do that when you pray. Nor do you take the attitude that you deserve God's mercy. You come to him and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I need you. This man has the right attitude in prayer. Second thing he did, he got on his knees, Freddie. Now, isn't that something? Oh, you ain't got to do all that. You've had people that when you raise your hand in worship, they look at you like, you ain't got to do all that. Well, you don't know my situation. You don't know where I come from. You don't know what I've been through. Maybe I do need to raise my hand. Maybe I do need to go on my knees. Maybe I do need to cry. This man is exercising humility in his posture. And it's not so much the physical things that are happening here, but the condition of his heart. You see he has the right attitude, but not only that, this man's heart is in tune. I want the right outcome here. I want to be able to get amen, my life and the lives of these men. I want them spared. So if getting on my knees means I got to show how weak and frail I am, guess what? I'm going on my knees. Never, never, ever boast yourself in the presence of God. Satan tried it for a little while and it didn't work. Never boast about what you've done for the Lord. Never brag about that because it was him working through you. Are y'all still here? But when you are brokenhearted before the Lord, when you got tears coming down your face, and when you're sincerely crying out from your heart, Lord, please help me. God will not turn you down. As a matter of fact, this Syrophoenician woman came up to Jesus one time, tearfully asking him, Lord, heal my daughter. But I can't give you the children bread. That's not right. I'm sent to the lost tribe of Israel. If I take that bread and give it to you, then I'm going, you know, I would be setting a wrong priority, a wrong precedence. And it's not that Jesus could not have. That was not his assignment. But the woman said something because she was in the right condition of heart. She said something. They said, well, Lord, okay, speaking of those dogs, they get the crumbs. Don't give me the hoe cake. Don't give me the biscuit. Just give me the crumb. And Jesus said, woman, because of what you said, I got to give it to you. I got to give it to you. When your heart is right, and sometimes getting on your knees, it shows where the condition of your heart is. As a matter of fact, sometimes life will knock you to your knees. You trying to get up and life will knock you back down again. So no, you ain't been down there long enough. Have you ever had situations where it seemed like trouble just come one wave after the other? I remember standing out in the ocean and it was during high tide. and the waves come in just by you. Yeah, I'm short anyway. And just when one wave comes over and you lift your head up, I got it now, another one comes. Waves of life come crashing, crashing. When you see that happening in your life, you're on your knees and you need God's mercy. That's where you find it. That's where the mercy of God comes in and brings you the answer that you're seeking for. And I want you to please notice something. Things may not change on the outside, but things do change on the inside. Amen. How many of y'all ever had war raging in your heart and you got anxiety on every side, and then all of a sudden you get this peace? Where did that come from? It came from your Heavenly Father. And you know what? It gets to the point that even if He doesn't take care of the exterior stuff, He's already taken care of the inside. Can I get a witness here? I want to close. I got to hurry up and close. But this man positioned himself in prayer. He positioned himself in prayer. He had the right attitude for prayer. And because of that, he was able to pray a powerful prayer. He simply says, "Man of God." And can I put it in my words? Don't call down fire. Do not call down fire on us today. We want to live. Sometimes when you pray, you only have a couple of words that you know. Pray those words. Why? Because when you're praying those words, guess who else is helping you to pray? You have the aid of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us." Notice I said help. The Spirit helps us. When we're praying, He has these groanings that can't even be put in words. He groans for us, and He knows the mind of God. The Spirit prays so that we can get our prayer before God. That's how much He loves you. Now, if you got the Spirit on earth, which is God, praying in you, and you've got God in heaven who wants to hear your prayer, oh, they're going to connect because they're one. Are y'all here? And especially when you pray in Jesus' name, now you got the Trinity saying, "We're going to bless them today. We're going to move in their life today. We're going to honor their prayer today," because they've got the right attitude and they are in the right position for prayer. But the third thing, now this is on Elijah's part, be careful with the fire. Now, Elijah is in a place now where he could say, "No, bro, I ain't buying it. I'm not buying what you're selling today." Zap! And that would have been number three. But instead, the angel goes over to him, Reverend Givens, and tells him, "Wait a minute, go down with him." Then we learn something about Elijah as he was going through this episode. He said, "Be not afraid of him." And why would God tell you be not afraid if you weren't afraid? That goes back to the point we made from the beginning. Elijah was human. So are you. You're human, but you can pray. You're human, but you can call on God. You're human, but you can make contact with the Almighty, because you are not going on your own. You're going by the prompting of the Spirit. The angel prompted Elijah. Said, "Wait a minute, bro. I know what you're getting ready to do. I know what you're fitting to do. Don't do it. Go down with him. Don't be afraid." Which brings us to this point. A lot of the saints of God, when they get mad at somebody, they'll get on their knees, they'll get in the right position, but then they start asking God, "Lord, you need to get them. You need to teach them a good old-fashioned lesson." That ain't the way to pray. That's not the way you call on God. As a matter of fact, I bring you into a scripture in Luke chapter 9, verses 54 and 56. I'm just going to reference it. James and John had been rejected by a village that they wanted to go and prepare for Jesus coming to the village. So in this Samaritan village, the people said, "No, don't come here," because Jesus had set his face to Jerusalem. So James and John, they go back to Jesus. "Jesus, they rejected us. Do you want us to call down fire the way Elijah did?" And Jesus said, "Wait a minute, time out. Where'd that come from?" So the influence of Elijah impacts a lot of people. And it's even in the church today. You got some churches, they can't even have a worship service because folk can't get along. Why? Because one group on one side of the church wanted to call down fire. Another group on the other side, they want to call down rain. And you got a whole big mess on your hands. Are y'all still here? Prayer is a way of calling on the God of mercy. Jesus rebuked those disciples because of the harshness of their heart and said, that's not the way I'm going to do this ministry. That's not the way that we're going to do things. And no matter how much we get on each other's nerves sometime, we're a spiritual family. Are y'all still here? We love each other. We forgive each other. We know what we can do. Are y'all still here? So we have to have the Spirit of Christ and don't play with the fire. Here's what Jesus put it. Pray for those that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Pray for them. And don't pray that prayer, Lord, get them. Pray the prayer, Lord, help them. Lord, speak to them. Lord, guide them. And you'll be praying a powerful prayer. Finally, I close with this point. Not only was Elijah respectful of the presence of God and he positioned the right attitude and the right manner of his heart, he didn't abuse the power of prayer, but we find also that this third captain made sure that his request was clear. I think sometimes we go into prayer, we want to impress God with poetry. Oh, thou that dwellest in yonder gates. But the Lord know where he lives at. Thou that stillest the calm of the sea. You ain't got to tell God all that. He knows it. Tell him what you want. We've had a song. Call him up and tell him what you want. Here folk got to go around all this poetry and quote all this stuff about God. Like if I impress him, then maybe he'll hear me. He was going to hear you in the first place. Because his mercy endures forever. And his truth to all generations. Pray your prayer. Man came up, he said, look, bro, man of God, we just want to live. Spare our lives. That's all he prayed. Sometime when you get on your knees and you don't know what to say, say what you need. Tell him what you want. Call his name and say, Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Walk out of there like you already got it because in your heart you already got it. Are y'all here? What do you mean by that, preacher? I ain't got more money in my bank account, but you got a seat in glory. What you mean by that, preacher? My body's not healed yet, but guess what? If your body never gets healed, you got a new body in glory. Oh, y'all listening to me. And I'm going to tell you something now. Go to my seat. These are praying time. Not playing time. These are praying time. And we need some saints of God that are bold enough to say, Lord, if I got to get on my knees, I'm going to pray. Lord, if I got to position my heart, I'm going to pray. And Lord, I'm not asking for everything. I'm just asking that you be God. You be God and you help me and lead me. I want to ask you a question. Hasn't the Lord been good so far? Brought you through many dangers, toils, and snares. The Lord brought me every step of the way. I know I got to finish this sermon, but I feel like preaching right now because the Lord is good. He is good. And when you pray, know who you're coming to and know what he'll do on your behalf. It is no secret. Come on, Mahalia. What God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. Do you believe it today? Do you believe that you can pray a powerful prayer? Now I want you to do something. Write down in your notes. If you took other notes, write this one. I can pray a powerful prayer. Write it down. And believe that God will help you in your prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you would hear wretched people like us. That you would have mercy on us to transform us. Changing us into something that we never thought we could be. And yet we can do all things through Christ. Isn't that something good? And so, Lord, bless us now. Bless, Lord, those that are listening online, those that are listening over the airways, touch them. Not so much because I preached a sermon. Anybody could have done this, Lord. But yet we know that you're a powerful God. Bless us in our point of need and help us to always be grateful for everything that you do. We pray in Jesus' name. And all the saints of God said, amen. We're going to get ready to share our communion. But before we do, we want to invite someone. If you do not know the Lord Jesus, if you don't know him, invite him into your heart. You can be online or in your home or in your vehicle. Invite him in. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. That's the most powerful prayer that you will ever pray. Do that, and the Lord will do his work of redemption. Amen. Doors of the church are open. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. The Bible says on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it. And he said to those that were eating with him, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Then afterward, he took the cup and gave to them also, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament. And this is given for the remission of your sin. Jesus gave it all that we might have new life and have that life more abundantly through Christ. Father, we thank you for these elements. We thank you for the bread and for the cup. Bless it now. Change it from its natural use to that which is spiritual. Bring meaning and purpose in our lives that we can live for your glory and serve to honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us take of the bread. Let us eat together. And now, let us take of the cup. Let us all drink together. Amen. Isn't it something how this simple communion all represents what Christ has done? Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Before we close our service, going to ask Brother Scotty Kraft to come and dismiss us in prayer. Before we close, we thank you for the gifts and offerings that you've been sending to the church online and other means. We thank you for that. It is a blessing, and certainly the Lord will bless you for it. But remember to drop your gift in the offering if you're inside today. Those that are in the parking lot, thank you again. Brother Kraft is going to come and close us in a word of prayer. Give the Lord another hand clap.
The blood that Jesus shed for me.
Come on, say it.
Strength from day to day. It will never. our Father, and our most wise and eternal God. This morning, O Lord, we stop by to thank you for this day. Not yesterday, because you have already blessed us to see yesterday, but we thank you for this day. We're not thanking you for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself, but we thank you, Father, for this day. You touched us, Father, with the finger of life, love, and liberty to be about the Father's business. And we thank you. You allowed us to sleep through the night, Father, without hurt, harm, and danger crossing our path. We thank you. You blessed us, O Lord, to come across the dangerous highways, Father, to make it here to assemble together to worship and praise your name, Father. We say thank you. You allowed us, Father, to sit here and take in your holy word. Open our hearts and our minds to hear and to receive you, Father. We say thank you. You allowed us, Father, to hear a good pastor preach the word who cared for his sheep, Father. We say thank you. And Father, you allowed us to hear the music and the choir from the songs that you sent there from heaven, Father. We say thank you. God, you're the good God. You're a merciful God. And besides you, there's no other. Without you, Father, we can't even take the next step. But we thank you, Father, in advance, Lord, as we leave this place, to bless us with traveling mercy. Bless us as we go into our homes and jobs and whatever we may do today, Father. Let us do something to honor from this point on to glorify you. Bless the offering, Father, that we received. Again, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, Lord, as we work for you. Father, we pray that you dismiss us from this place, but not from our holy presence. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. It is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Go in peace.